brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus. I greet you from the lovely sunshine-filled nation of Sri Lanka, where, you know, it never really matters what the world does in the end, because all of their works come to nothing. You know, after this life is over, everything that people have... Even when people have near-death experiences, they realize that so much of what they've put their life into really didn't matter that much. You know, when people have been faced with the moment of possibly their own death, and then they've happened to live past that, when they reflected on those experiences and those moments of time, the last thing they were thinking about was their stock portfolio or their position or their ranking or a lot of other things that people on a day-to-day basis make it their priority. I mean, typically what people do if they get the opportunity, you know, they'll try to call their family or talk to people that are close to them or that they love, and you know, and they'll also try to make sure that they're ready to go from this life into the next. And usually that involves them bowing their knee before their Creator and asking Him for forgiveness and for to be in right step with Him if they're about to pass from this life into the next, if they have the presence of mind and the time. Or they just scream and cry like a baby, knowing that they're not ready to go. Or they become sometimes very violent, very angry, very cussed people, even on the way out the door, because they realize that they're, again, not ready, and none of their money or their power or their position can even give them one more moment. You know, there was an interesting book I read, it was probably 10 years ago, but it was called The Last Words of Saints and Sinners. And, you know, it was pretty much about people on their deathbed, and from, you know, different walks of life, different people, and the kind of deaths that they died. You know, when you read some of those stories, it's pretty incredible. Those ultimately it came down to those that were ready to meet their Maker, those that were in connection with Him and were at peace with the life that they had lived here, they were ready to go. But for those that had invested their entire existence in this world, the things of this world, everything that didn't truly matter, and had done a lot to hurt and harm all kinds of other people, you know, for them, you know, they weren't ready. And, you know, a lot of times they would beg, they would ask people to try to give them a little bit more time. They would do whatever they could. You know, one man, I can't remember the person specifically, but just a very wealthy man that offered, the doctor said, look, I'll give you half of everything I've got if you can just give me 6 more months of life. And the doctor couldn't, because, you know, despite his skill, you know, there's a limit to human ability. There's a limit to what man can do. There's a limit to the time that we have in this life. You know, just that realization, just that simple realization should be enough for a lot of people to live very differently. You know, just realizing that, you know, all of us have a limited time in this life and in this world. And, you know, people's goals to be immortalized and all those things. Look, just look through history. The people that have done incredible feats in history. People that have, you know, invented incredible things, accomplished incredible things. Won triumphantly, won, you know, victory wreaths and gold medals and invented things that changed the world. You know, they are footnotes in history at best. You know, very, very few of them are remembered in the slightest. Because, you know, that's part of life and the world, is that everything here is temporal and transitory. And as big as things might seem to you today, as big as your problems might seem to you today, as big as your triumphs might seem to you today, the things that you've done and how great and fantastic that you think they are, they're just the flavor for the month at best. It's just the flavor of the month at best. That's all. You're not going to go much more than that. Because all the things that people think, all the things that they invest their time, their energy, their resource in, they're all transitory, everything in this life. But if you store up your treasure in heaven, where moth and rust don't destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal, you'll have the lasting inheritance. I mean, you know, with all these smart investors in the world and all of these people that pride themselves on being able to find a good investment, you know, make a good deal, strike a good deal. Are you kidding me? Just that alone, the ability to get something that is eternal and lasts for all eternity while you are in a temporal reality, rather than investing in a temporal reality and losing all of that. I mean, talk about investing, or the lack thereof. If you are going to invest, invest in the kingdom of God. If you're going to invest, invest in the things of God. And if you're going to invest, invest in relationships that are part of His plan and purpose, because those will last. If you're going to invest, invest in something that is worthwhile. You know, I mean, sometimes, you know, people have wondered why, you know, I've got a heart for this and why we do this. Look, hey, we're doing something that lasts for all eternity. The work that we do here carries on. The message that goes forth here, it has an eternal ramification. So this is the best thing we could do. This is the best place we could spend time. Speaking the truth, sharing the gospel, sharing the good news, giving you guys something that you can share. You know, we put all this stuff in the simplest format for, you know, people to even pass it around. Send it to other people. Download it. Put it on a CD. Give it to somebody that don't even have the internet. Let them listen. You know, they can get mad at us. Look, even sometimes if you're a bit nervous because some of the stuff we say is a bit extreme, whatever, just give somebody the audio and say, hey, I listened to this, don't really know what to think about it, but what do you think? And let them come back to you. Because, see, here's the thing. People need the word. People need the truth. The truth sets people free, and a lot of people live their entire lives and existence in bondage and in quiet misery. But if you give them truth, they have the chance to break free. Because it still involves choice. There's people that too that learn and know the truth, but they still choose the lie. Because the lie for them, their desire is to be something in this life. They don't want the cost or the consequence or the pain that comes with it. You know, sometimes people are like, oh, well, why would people give up the truth if they know what it is, and then why would they not go with it? Okay, people know that if you sit on the couch all day and you just eat greasy fast food, that you're going to get fat and out of shape. But if you get up, and if you go do something, and if you live an active lifestyle, if you do some exercise, you're going to have a better quality of life. You're going to have a better energy level. You're going to be healthier. You're going to have a better view of yourself. You're going to probably enjoy your time and your existence in this life more. Now, that being said, You know, there's a lot of people that still, they don't do that. They choose the easy road. Now, I know there's some of you out there, I'm just using this as an example. I'm not talking about this specifically, but I do know there's some of you out there that maybe you've had, you know, injuries that keep you from being able to do something, being able to, you know, be as active as you would like. But even in those cases, there's things that people can do with their diet, with their nutrition, with what they eat, with what they put into their body that will give them a better energy level, better sleep, better rest, all of that. I'm saying there's a principle. I'm not talking about exercise specifically. I'm talking about the principle in general of knowledge versus the application of knowledge. See, what's valuable is applied knowledge. There's a lot of people that know a lot of stuff, but the application of it is what you're looking for. You want to learn to apply knowledge. You want to learn to apply that which you learn. Because the application is what takes the greater part of the effort. You know, you have to go learn, you have to find, you have to see, search, you have to ask, seek, knock, and then once you learn something, but then you've got to apply it. You know, I mean, recently, you know, just family member sent me something regarding regarding this pharmaceutical industry, and you know, as an ex-pharmaceutical rep, that basically just said, hey, you know, the pharmaceutical industry is evil, and you know that they see people as commodities and just money to be extracted. They're focusing all their energies on not on on actually curing people, but actually on just symptoms, on symptom alleviation and long-term revenue generation from people that become dependent on these pills, and their desire is to make people lifelong dependent on these things and addicted to these things. Now, you know, I mean, this is stuff that if you pay attention to health, and if you understand some things about, you know, worldly, carnal, satanic business, this is not a surprise to you. And we've been talking about stuff like this for a long time, you know, with people when we talk just specifically about health in general. But, you know, it takes somebody like that from the very industry that was at the top of that industry that's gotten tired of all of that and wants to come clean, and wants to probably end this life with a clean conscience and clean hands and not have blood on their hands for the destruction that's happened to humanity and to so many people as a result of these actions. But, all right, what are you going to do with that information? You know, what will you do with the information that you know once it's out there? Will you look? Will you take the time to research? Will you take a risk? You know, or will you just drink the Kool-Aid? Will you just listen to the quote-unquote authority figure? You know, look, recently, that's a little while back, my friends had told us to, but, I had a little bit of pain in my jaw. And now in Sri Lanka, you got to understand that even here, the medical industry has a whole lot more issues than in the West. But I had a little bit of pain in my jaw, so it just bothered me for a little while. I was having trouble chewing. So I just went to one of the local doctors in one of the local hospitals. And the doctor said that I had, he said that I had poked myself with a fish bone, and I hadn't eaten fish, but he said I'd poked myself with a fish bone, and he said, here, he'll give me some medicines and it'll settle. It's exact words. Now I knew his diagnosis was wrong, and he prescribed for me 4 pharmaceutical drugs. before. Now, I walked out of that room, person I was with, and we're just like, okay, we are, and person I was with had some medical knowledge as well. So read the prescription and was laughing. Because three of them, I mean, it was basically covering everything under the sun that wouldn't kill me, which was what was prescribed to me. And, you know, you got to understand that people make money from writing prescriptions. People make money from pharmaceutical sales. So anyways, I didn't fill that prescription. There was another doctor, a foreign trained doctor, who was in town, who was working here as a practice, and decided to go visit him, who is a specialist but was formerly a GP, formerly a general practitioner. Went and visited him, showed him the prescription. He was laughing at it too. And basically, you know, it was just a little bit of stuff with my diet that had been eaten that had, he just said, make a couple modifications here and here. And then he said, yeah, just change this here. And then this is probably the reason. Went away in a couple of days, done. Now, had I listened to the man in the white coat, the first one, with the stethoscope in the proper place inside the hospital, I probably would have made myself done a lot more damage and injury to my body. Because also you got to understand that in this country, outdated, expired pharmaceuticals are also the norm here. By and large, a lot of Western countries dump expired and gone off or wasted drugs in this market. Sometimes pharmaceutical companies use this market as a tax write-off. So they'll take expired stuff, they'll send it here, and they can't sell it in their own countries, but then they take a tax write-off in their own country saying that they gave this as a medical donation to this place. And then they do it as a way to increase or maximize their profits and their bottom line. Nothing about helping a country or helping a people. Also here too, you know, a lot of times because the doctors say, oh, it's fine, it's good for this extra length of time, people trust. But because people trust, the damage to people's health is very strong. But people perish for lack of knowledge. People perish. They don't know and they don't trust a well-informed dissenting voice. And when there's so much money at work, when there's so much money floating around, do you think that message, that people want that message out there? Do you think that these industries that are making money off of dumping and illegal activities and hurting and killing other people, do you think when ultimately it's their profits, it's their bottom line, and if they love money, which is the root of all kinds of evil, do you think that they're looking for, good, clean practice? No. No, they're not. See, there's a tipping point in the soul of a person. And part of that tipping point involves what your love is. See, look, if you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and the overflow of that is the second commandment, or the Jesus said, you know, the first commandment, second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself, which you will love your neighbor as yourself. You will love your neighbor with true love when you love God first. But when you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you know, that changes you. It transforms you into what you were made to be. And then, when you love your neighbor as yourself, look, when you love your neighbor as yourself, okay, if you have any care for yourself, would you dump poison into your system? If you cared about yourself at all, if you cared about your body at all, would you poison your own body? No. You wouldn't. You wouldn't go and cut off your own limbs. You wouldn't go and destroy your own self. You wouldn't do that to yourself. But people allow that to happen to others because they don't love them. They don't care about them. They see them as something else. You know, that's one of the tragedies of war, is that, you know, they stop seeing others as people, and they see them as, you know, enemy combatants, or they see them as terrorists, or they see them as something else. But rather than people with mothers and fathers and hopes and dreams. Now, you know, yes, we live in a world that's been at war for a very long time. It's been at war throughout. And people, you know, they fight in this reality. They fight in this dimension. And, you know, we are even called to be spiritual warriors. We don't live, we're not passive or soft. You know, we are spiritual warriors. We are ready to engage. And we are, but the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're spiritual. They're mighty for the tearing down of strongholds. You know, people in the realm of spirit can do far more destruction than people with natural weapons, natural guns. Far more. I mean, it's been the case throughout history, and it will be the case to the very end. People will see it and they'll realize. You know, I mean, glimpses of that were there in the scriptures in the old school. And, you know, when the Assyrians came after Hezekiah in his city, and, you know, they spoke against the living God. And when they spoke against the living God, what did God do? One night. And that, what they said, Hezekiah made it known unto God. He said, Lord God, this is what they said against you. One night, God sent out his angel and struck down 186,000 men, soldiers. The Assyrian army, basically, the entire Assyrian army was wiped out. 186,000 troops. I mean, think about that. Even in the modern day, that's a very large army for a nation. That's a very large army for a lot of nations these days. I mean, yeah, if you look at, you know, giant nations like China, that's not much. But for a lot of countries, they don't have armies that big this very day. But back then, God sent his angel, and in the middle of the night, and when the head of those of that whole thing woke up in the morning, he found everybody dead. Because God had done it. God sent his angel. He said, look, you guys forgot. You forgot that your breath is on loan from me, and I'm just going to come take it back right now. Now, you know, those little reminders were there throughout history for people. And if they have eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to understand, they would realize that such is the case. And they would quiet themselves. They would not speak words that they can't pay for. You know, there's a lot of people that write checks with their mouths that their eternal beings cannot cash. You know, it's a dumb thing to speak against the living God. It is a dumb thing to oppose the truth and to fight against his servants. Why would you do that? Why would you fight against people that have only done good to you, that have only worked to help you, that have only worked to make your life in this world a better place? Why would you fight against those that speak truth? People don't realize, but the reason too is because it's something in them compels them, because they're on the side of the enemy. They're on the side of the darkness. Look, you know, one thing about all this stuff is that the focus of the enemy is basically, look, it's the spirit of Antichrist. Right? The spirit of Antichrist has gone out into the world. The spirit of Antichrist. Basically, Christ. And it's anti that. Anything that's Christ, whatever the anti is of that, that's what they go for. So, the push is for that which is against him. And so, that's why if God has a natural order and a natural creation, they want to mess it up. That's why if God puts something in genetics, they want to mess with that. They want to create, you know, half man, half horse, half dog, half cat, half this, half that. They want to mix all those things up and mess up God's order, because that's anti his establishment. That if he's put something in place, if he's designed people's sexuality a particular way, they want to push for something else. And it's an agenda. And this is why, too, sometimes, you know, people don't even realize they're being used for an agenda. Look, the world doesn't care. The world, ultimately, the prince of the power of the air, he doesn't care whether you're, what your issues are, or what your struggles are, or what your, whatever it is, he doesn't care. What he cares about is anti-God, doing the opposite of what God would say. And you know what? You are his, what he uses to gauge that. Because, look, he can't get to God. You got to understand that. He can't get to God. God is ungettable. He can't get to God. He can't get access to God. He can't, you know, I mean, he's got to beg to come to the edge, you know, and you know, like, he can't even, there's no access for him. He's been thrown out. You know, so, in the process, he is the accuser of the brethren, you know, there's a lot going on, but how does he try to get back at God? Well, he tries to get back at God by getting to you. Because, see, you were designed in God's image and God's likeness. That's why he wants to deface you. That's why he wants to pervert you. That's why he wants to make you something else. That's why he wants to twist you and turn you and contort you into an abomination if he can. Just so that he can try to put it in God's face and say, look, here, see. You know, this is your creation. Look what it's become. Trying to get at God. You know why? Look, read in Genesis 6. That was a time where it grieved God's heart that he'd even made man. When he saw that every inclination of man's heart was towards evil. It's in the book. Read it. Genesis 6. And man had been so corrupted and so twisted and so turned that God had to just clean the whole thing out. It had gotten so bad. And you know, we're going to get into that again in the future. We're moving towards that. Even now, we're moving towards that at a rapid pace. You know, the doubling of knowledge has increased exponentially over the last years. If you look throughout history, there's a lot of stuff that's out there on this, but you can go check it for yourself. But roughly, you know, if you look throughout history at how long it took to double knowledge, and you know, like those things, the way that they would keep that is like, or count that, would be like, you know, technological innovations, like breakthroughs in knowledge and understanding. So like. Like the creation of the steam engine, or the wheel, or the light bulb, or, you know, or penicillin, or, you know, I mean, so, like that, the doubling of knowledge. And if you look throughout history, and, you know, the old school, you know, it took, you know, a couple of thousands of years before, you know, the knowledge, the available knowledge doubled. And then that framework started getting shortened to, you know, hundreds, and then later to, you know, a few decades. And in this lifetime, you know, we've moved to a time and to a window where, and I'm getting the numbers off, so you have to go check this for yourself, I'm just giving you a general idea. But, you know, we've moved to the windows where now knowledge has been doubling in every... early on, it was like every 10, now 8, now 6 or 7. We're moving closer to knowledge doubling every 3 or 4 years. And pretty soon, at the rate that information technology is increasing and all these other things are expanding, you know, we are going to move from not just a boil, but from this thing just exploding. So knowledge and all this stuff coming down to things as simple as binary code, a universal language, ones and zeros, which the entire internet is built on ones and zeros. The base code is binary code, ones and zeros. That's how the whole thing is communicated. So in this process, look at what man is doing with this. Look at where people's efforts are going. Look at the corruption that's taking place. Example, pornography. Old school days, you know, somebody had to go, to some dodgy back alley or some shady store on the street. You know, walk in, they tried to hide their identity. They'd walk in, they'd go, they'd find their magazine or whatever. They'd buy it, they'd leave. Nowadays, people can... The very same computer that you would be using to check this audio, you can be looking at pornography. Even while I'm talking, you could do that. You can download it, you can upload it, you can... It's all over the place. In fact, the bulk of what the internet's used for is the dark net, is stuff along these lines, feeding into the depraved side of humanity. Carnal appetites, feeding the flesh, that wars against the spirit, softening people up, so that they can be exploited, so that they can be inhabited by demonic forces, so that they can be twisted and turned and used. I mean, look at what companies do right now around the world with genetically modified foods. My gosh. You know, there's a reason they call them Frankenfoods. These are not healthy for people. The nutritional value is gone. They look good on the shelf. They last for longer. I mean, somebody told me the other day, there are apples in Sri Lanka that are 3 years old. 3 years that have been shipped down from other countries because they're genetically modified and they're wax coated, and they can sit on that shelf for 3 years. Scary. You know, now people will use excuses like food security and stuff like that to justify these types of actions and these kind of things going on. But the truth is, if man managed this stuff with integrity and a good heart, and cooperated and collaborated with each other, they wouldn't have to go that route. The truth is that there's countries in the world that will not accept Frankenfoods, GMOs, and they work diligently to keep them out and to try to keep their populations healthy, and people produce for those places. And when it comes down to it, the people that know, they wouldn't want to eat those foods for themselves. Now look, you are here, you're in this life. We're in this world, but we're not of it. You're here for a window of time. First, just be aware. You don't got to get panicked or freaked out about this stuff, but you need to know that it's going on. You need to know that it's going on, and you need to know that if there's anything that you can do about it, you do what you can. So part of what we can do, part of what I can do, I can make you aware of the bits and pieces that I know and that I've seen. I can share some of those things with you so that you have better knowledge, so that you can make a better decision for yourself. I share the things that might work for me, or that things that maybe I've learned. But look, I don't got it all figured out either, but I share what I got. You know, that's what we do. We share what we have. We share what we have with each other. You know, just do the part that you can. Share what you can. You know, for you, the challenge is one that, you know, you've got to learn to rise up into these things. Rather than looking for the way out, rather than looking for, you know, an easy exit, you've got to learn the way through. You know, we talk about that a lot because it's important. If people don't find the way through, what ends up happening is if people don't find the way through, they keep looking for an early exit, mm-hmm. for an easy exit. You know, there is, easy is not the road for you, but God has kept it simple. You know, each day you can take this thing day by day. You can. And you know, part of also the call is for us to learn to be in this moment. God wants you to learn to be in this moment right now. Not to... He doesn't want you to be focused on all these things that, you know, this is going to happen over here and that's going to happen over there. Look, there's little things that you can do here and there. It's good to be aware, but keep your focus. The focus is within. The focus is on the kingdom. The kingdom of God is within. You know, you can get wrapped up and worried and perplexed about all this stuff going on, about stuff happening all over the world. But ultimately, you know, where are you in the middle of all of that? Because a lot of these problems and crises happening around the world is not going to make a lot of difference whether you know about it or not. Unless you take that and you spend some time in prayer about it, sure, then go for it. If God moves your heart, bow on your knees, pray, and ask and allow God to direct you in a specific direction of prayer for something. If you're not doing that, then what are you doing? Seriously, if you're not doing that, then what? You know, general awareness, sure. But that shouldn't take you more than 5 minutes. You know, the need for people to pray and to seek God and to seek His face is strong now. You know, I feel, you know, for myself, I just feel like it's stronger now than it's ever been. The need to pray, the need to seek God, the need to look to Him. You know, it's strong right now. You know, you need to seek. You need to look. You need to ask, seek, knock. This is the time for it. Look, if you don't know to go to Him now, when are you going to learn? When will you learn? When will you? If you haven't learned that place of complete dependence on Him right now, when will that happen? When will that happen? You know, as somebody was talking to me recently and they're wondering, you know, well, why would God care about little things? You know, like there's all these big global problems and why would God care about this little stuff in their life? You don't understand. He cares about He knows the very hairs on your head. Of course He cares. He knows the number of grains of sand on the seashore. Of course He cares. He cares about every little aspect of this life and your life. And just the fact that people believe that he doesn't care is part of the brainwashing of the enemy against people. Because God has instructed us, cast all your cares upon him, because he cares for you. You are to cast all your cares upon him, because he cares for you. You know, he cares for you, and he cares what's going on with you. And the smallest thing, the smallest detail in your life, you can bring it before him. And you know what? You've got to learn to also dig down for yourself. You know, I know it's a temptation to want to look to certain individuals. But there's certain people that maybe have been brought there for a season, and they're there to encourage you for a window, but that's it. God wants you to rise up. He wants you to stand strong on your own feet. Look, for us, you know, we just share for a window of time to encourage you, to hopefully strengthen you as God equips us to do so, and to be a blessing to you. But, you know, we're not trying to get you all into the same place or to merchandise you with whatever, I don't know. I mean, it's the goal for us is just to share. That's the end in itself. That's the primary. The rest is, you know, it's not, look, we, if nothing else, we do a lot to get rid of people. Yeah, it's funny, but I mean, we have a Facebook page out there for as many people as like us. There's a ton of people that unlike us really fast. There's a ton of people that unlike us. They listen for a little bit, and they don't like it, and they unlike us. There's a lot of them. And you know what? Praise God for that. Because one thing that we realize is that, hey, we must be saying something that's good and true. Because there's a lot of people that don't like the truth too. They don't want it out there. They would rather we don't do this. You know, they would rather that we just be quiet, go away. But no, this is what God's told us to do. So as long as we have the window and the avenue and the chance to do it, we'll do it. Look, for you, the goal is simple. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. This is, you know, the golden rule. I mean, simple things. But if you live that way, it would make all the difference in the world. You know, so, I mean, you know, people try to rationalize things. You know, typically, when something as simple as that, when it gets in the way of people's personal agendas, they kind of forget about it. You know, the very words that Christ has spoken, the very instruction that he's given, they forget about it. You know, they push it to the side, or they say, no, he really didn't mean what he said. Or, you know, loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength really doesn't mean this, or doesn't mean that. You know, it's funny. It's funny how, you know, people will seek to transform God into their own image and into their own likeness. You know, I had a buddy of mine one time told me, he said, you know, that people, when they're faced with truth, will do one of two things. They will either change what they do, which is called repentance, where basically they're confronted with the truth and they're like, wow, this is true. This is real. This is what it's all about. Okay, I am going to change my life. I'm going to repent and I'm going to now follow the truth. That's the way of life. When you face truth, you line yourself up with it. or they change what they believe. And so instead of lining themselves up with absolute truth when it's presented to them, they instead say, okay, no, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to create another Jesus. I am going to create another God. I'm going to create something else, and I am going to now worship that. Because that Jesus doesn't require this from me. That Jesus doesn't require me to die to this world so that I can live with Him. That Jesus doesn't require that I lay down my life to follow Him. That Jesus that I create in my own image and my own likeness, He wants me to go on and put all my life and energy into the world and to be part of the world and the world system, climb that ladder. And in the process of climbing that ladder, every time that I step on somebody or I hurt somebody or I do all these practices or do all these demonic things and I get another leg up, I'll call it God's blessing. Right? See, people fashion God into their own image. And Matthew 7 gives a summary from Jesus' own mouth of what the end will be like when judgment happens and people come before Him. And He said, there'll be many on that day that say unto me, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this and that in your name? Didn't we heal sick and cast out devils? Didn't we do many good works in your name? And what did Jesus say to them? Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I didn't know you. I don't know you. Ultimately, they were doing stuff using Jesus' name, but they had fashioned a Jesus that they wanted. They had made a convenient Jesus. Are you worshiping a convenient Jesus? Or are you worshiping the true and living God? Serious. Are you worshiping the true and living God, or are you worshiping a Jesus of convenience? I hope for your eternal sake you're worshiping the true and living God, and that you haven't fashioned God into your own image and likeness for your own personal benefit and fallen prey to a strong delusion that keeps you wrapped up. Because you refuse to love the truth, God gives you over to a lie. I really hope that's not any of you. You know what? If you're ever concerned about that, I thank God for a godly dad. I've got, you know, a great dad in this life. Man of God makes a huge difference. Huge difference to the person that you become when you've got godly parents. And but you know, one thing that my dad taught me to pray, said, Lord God, if I'm missing it, would you please correct me? Because I don't want to miss you. If I'm missing it, if I'm off track, if I don't see you the way I need to see you, if I'm not walking with you the way that I'm supposed to walk with you, if I'm not living the way I need to live, would you please just show me, teach me, lead me, guide me, but correct me, because I don't want to miss you. I don't want to miss you. And you leave it with Him, because you know what? The heart is deceitfully wicked, full of deadly poison. You've got to be careful, because that heart, especially when, even like we talked about at the start, you get the authority figure standing up there prescribing four wrong drugs for you in the hospital. You get the man standing up there in front of an altar or a pulpit or at a stand or wherever, and wearing a robe or a collar or whatever else. And that man gives you a convenient Jesus. And you believe him. Even though when somebody gives you a convenient Jesus, something for the heart of the truth seeker, for the heart of the person that truly loves truth and really wants the real thing, you can't stomach it. You can't settle for that. You really can't. Something inside of you says, ah, God, this is not it. And you're still, something is just chewing away at you, and you know that's not right. You know that's not it. So you won't settle for that. Yeah, but a lot of people will. A lot of people will settle for that. You know, a lot of people will settle for that. Because they want a convenient Jesus. They want somebody that tells them what their itching ears want to hear. You know, scriptures talk about how in the last days people won't put up with sound doctrine. But they'll surround themselves with teachers that with itching ears that surround themselves with teachers that tell them what they want to hear. You know, how do people surround themselves with teachers that tell them what they want to hear? Well, one way is those are the ones they finance. I'm serious. Look, you can, if people tell them what they want to hear, they get funded. If they spout the doctrine of the world, they get funded and promoted and pushed forward. The enemy will promote them himself. He'll give them free airtime. He will get them endorsed by other world leaders. He will get them to be on the cover of magazines. He'll do all kinds of stuff to keep those ones going and to move forward that message. Whereas if you're a truth speaker and if what you really are saying is cutting to the chase, is stirring things up, is making it difficult, is, as in Paul and Silas's case, when they saw that the hope of their making money was gone, the people in that area when they were there in Acts chapter 16, that's when they got mad. That's when they dug into them. That's when they came after them. That's when they had them thrown in jail and their feet fastened in the stocks and back ripped open with a whip. That's when that happens, when their hope of making money is gone. As soon as you start doing that, you will come under incredible attack. Look, you can do all these things with ministry, but as soon as it starts touching the offering plate and people stop being able to make money with the business of religion, that's when they'll really come after you. Just so you know. But people surround themselves with teachers that tell them what their itching ears want to hear via, endorsing them, via funding them, via putting them forward, keeping them going. But the truth seekers, you know what? We still keep going because something compels us to do so. A lot of times, truth seekers are running for their lives because they're being hunted by the world and the world system. So they're shaking the dust from their feet. They keep moving. You know, a lot of times their words are not accepted. They're thrown out. They're not given the microphone. You know, I remember I've been inside churches, seen it happen, where God has given somebody a very strong, a very powerful word for the congregation. And those people, we're not given the microphone. I've seen it. I've just observed. I've watched it. I've watched it happen. Because truth sets people free. And there are gatekeepers for those things. Because ultimately these are businesses that have to be kept going. If you didn't know this, let me clue you in on something. One of the biggest businesses in the entire world is religion. Huge. Huge. Massive business globally. Religion is a massive business. See, just like the pharmaceutical industry does not want you to be cured. Because if you were cured, they would be putting themselves out of business. Likewise, religions don't want you to be walking with God for yourself, learning from Him, being led and guided by Him, and living an abundant, fulfilled life that's free of guilt and shame. Oh, no. No, we can't have that. Because if you are not bound, then you're out there and you're free, and they can't merchandise you. They can't sell you. They can't get you to, on your deathbed, ride over your land. Or give your substance to them, or whatever. Look, if you need a sense of community, go bowling. Go join a bowling club. If you need a sense of community, you know, I mean, go do a sport. It's fine. But, you know, don't put your eternal soul at risk. Because you know something that happens is when people put themselves in those positions and they put themselves into these areas where they're looking to people to... where they put themselves into a place where they're looking to listen to these voices in positions of authority in spiritual context. That's dangerous. You know, when you go into a church, for example, you go in there, you put your guard down. You go in there trusting. You go in there hoping. You know, a lot of people go there for relief. You know, a lot of people go there to be refreshed. A lot of people go there because they want somebody to tell them what they need to hear, what they need to know. So they let their guard down. Whereas when they're walking around during the week, you know, when they're walking around during the week, they've got their guard up because they know that everybody in the world is trying to play them and trying to angle them and trying to do all that stuff. And they don't realize that Sunday is one of the most dangerous days. It's one of the most deadly days. Because there's infiltrators, because there's people that don't really want you to be free. They want you to be bound. They want you to be laden with guilt and shame so that you can be controlled. Look, there's a huge part of all of this which is control. People want to control you. They want to affect you. They want to manipulate you. They want you to do what they want you to do. Look, all right, for most of you that listen in here, I don't know you personally. Most of you listening in to you, the vast majority of people that listen in here from around the world, I do not know you personally. Right? Right. Okay, the vast majority of you guys that listen in around the world, we do this as a labor of love for you. The vast majority of you, like 99% of you out there, 99.9% of you out there that listen in, everything that we do is of benefit to you, and the only thing you end up having to do is just click on a link to listen. We do all the work on your behalf, and we do that as a labor of love for you, because God's put that in our heart to do for you, and you receive from this, and it blesses you. How long we'll be able to do this, I don't know. How long we'll be allowed to continue like this, I don't know. How long this will continue on for, I really don't know. It really is up to God. The context may get to a point where we can't do this anymore. We may get into that situation in the future. Don't know how long, but we may end up in that. if that's the case, hey, so be it. But while we're here, we do what we can. We do what we can, where we can, when we can. But if it blesses you, the least you can do is share with somebody else. The least you can do is just drop a line and say hi. And just let us know that, you know, it's a blessing to you. That's an encouragement. That takes a little effort on your side. Doesn't take much. Takes far less than what goes into putting these things together. You know, I mean, we, the entire team, the people that are involved with this, look, we go through some crazy things and some attacks of the enemy just so that we can do this for you. Now, we don't go into all of that because that's, you know, kind of just comes with the territory. And we just know that. We accept it. It's fine. But, hey, it is what it is. But we do that for you. Because, you know, God has put it in our heart to do this, to share this, to put this message out. And that's also in part why it helps you. That's in part why it blesses you. Is because we've been broken into 1,000 pieces. We've been shattered. We've been gone through the ringer, gone through the mill. And we still hold on. And because of that, God, through our own brokenness, flows. Look, God flows through broken vessels. So if you're broken, you're on the right track. Because you know what? The people of God, the ones that I know that probably have had the most profound effect on my own life, the ones that have really been, you know, just spiritually just have just really had that, left that residue on my life, had that impact on my life, they've all been shattered individuals. And God put them back together again. And the life they now live is in Him. So if you've been broken, you're in good company. It's not that you are broken. It's what you do with that. When you are broken by God, when He allows you to be broken in this life and in the things that you experience, that's okay. It's all right. But from that place of brokenness, you bow your knee before Him. And you allow Him to flow into you and flow through you. And you know what happens? I'll tell you this from my own experience. You eventually come to a spot where that pain is, it's not really there. It's almost like it happened to somebody else. Because it does. It's just because that's old. It died on the cross with Christ. You still remember, but it doesn't hurt. But also, out of that brokenness that God puts you through, He, from that place, He flows into the lives of other people. You know, I've seen so often, because of the things that God's allowed me to go through, that He's taken that and blessed other people with it. And a lot of times too, when people, you know, write me or they tell me about their experiences, or they write the team, or they, you know, or talk to people one-on-one, and, you know, they say, oh, this is my own experience and stuff. And, you know, inside, sometimes I listen and, you know, sometimes I smile a bit too, because I've been through. You know, sometimes I won't tell them what I've been through, but, you know, it's, you know, the difference is I know that God can heal, because He's healed me. You know, I know that God can make people whole, because He made me whole. I know that God can restore, because He's restored me. I know that God can put my feet on solid ground, because He's done that for me, and He can do that for you. I know that God can help you lift your head and pick your head up and look forward and smile and be grateful and have joy in your heart, because He's done that for me. But you know what? You've got to make a decision. You've got to make a decision in your heart that you are going to follow Him for real. And you're going to go all in. That is the most powerful decision that you can ever make. The most powerful decision that you can ever make is to follow Christ for real. To follow Christ with all that you are. Once you do that, life takes on an entirely different existence. Your entire being, your entire experience while you're here changes incredibly. From the moment that you follow Christ for real, look, you know what? I'll share something a little comical even with this. I remember when I was in college, and there was, we used to have Bible study in college. We'd get together, just be some brothers. It's a great thing to do wherever you are, just meet up with some brothers in Christ, or sisters in Christ, but meet up with people that are committed to a similar track, and just spend some time praying for each other, encouraging each other, sharing maybe some of the challenges going on with you. But I remember, you know, one time there's a guy, and he was just pining over this girl. But he wasn't really walking with Christ, but he just, you know, he met this girl and really liked this girl. And then, you know, God kind of tapped him on the shoulder and just is like, you know, son, you know, I want you to come follow me. And he chose to. He chose to follow God with his entire heart. From the moment that he chose to go after truth and to walk with God, it was at that moment, like within not even days, like this girl that wouldn't give him the time of day, all of a sudden now, she was chasing after him. And he couldn't understand it. He was wondering what was going on. And we were laughing because the thing is, you don't realize that it's when you walk with Christ for real, that is when the world comes after you. When you walk with Christ for real, that is when you actually become attractive to the world. Because the world wants you now. Didn't want you before because it had you before. You don't get offers like you do when you are bought and paid for by the Son of God. Look, the things that have come my way as a result of me walking with Christ would blow your mind. Can't talk about all of them even sometimes on these shows, but on these podcasts, but essentially the world has been offered on a silver platter if I would just be part of it and bow my knee. I've had very similar things like Luke chapter 4 and the experience Jesus had. But God had quickened me and had a hold of my life several times. But God has quickened me and had a hold of my life, and I've known the one that I've served, and He saved me because I know who I belong to. But you know what? Those offers, you'll never even, you should wonder, why is it that comes when you're walking with Christ? Didn't come any other time. But it came when you were actually walking with Him. The reason is because you're outside of their system. They don't control you. They don't own you anymore. And they want you back. And they're willing to pay a price for it. But you know what? As a child of God, you were bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus. And your soul is of immeasurable value. Because the price that God paid for you is without measure. So know that. Know the value that's placed on your life. and enjoy the journey, brothers and sisters, because God set you free. With that, hey, God bless you. We love you. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. Say hi. You can also reach us on our Facebook page. Just search for Faith Mix, one word. You will find us. So, hey, God bless you. Keep on keeping on. Talk to you soon. Bye.